Merry Christmas! Right? So I believe it's a very special year this year, right? The end of 2020, what a year it's been. I think this year caused much anxiety, not only this year, but in what the future holds. But I imagine that even at the first Christmas, Joseph and Mary felt quite anxious as well. It was a time of uncertainty and darkness in the world. But it was also at that time that God placed his star in the sky to give hope to the world. It was a sign that his gift was on its way. Usually Alexa reminds me in the morning, "Oh, your package will be delivered today." But God put a star in the sky. Right? It was the gift that was prophesied since the time of Adam and Eve, the gift of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. This year is also special because what is referred to as the Christmas star by some astronomers will also appear in the sky tomorrow. Wow, this star has not been seen for 800 years, right? And it won't happen again in our lifetime. But it's not actually a star, but rather it's the two bright planets, right? Jupiter and Saturn, crossing the same path in the sky, appearing to us as an unusually bright star. So that's why it's kind of referred to as the Christmas star. So if you want to see it, you can look about 15 degrees above the southwest horizon just after it gets dark around 6:30 to 7 p.m. Right? But actually your best chance to probably see it will be tonight, even though it won't be fully bright tonight. The two planets will be very close. Because tomorrow is supposed to be cloudy, right? So Ruth and I are traveling west today to see this star away from the clouds. Anyway, I think it's appropriate we have this star at the end of 2020. I think it is God reminding us, right? He is still with us. He is still spreading the message of his gift of hope and of love in our lives today. Now today, our Christmas message comes from Jesus' words to Nicodemus in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now, John 3:16 may not be the first verse that people think of when they think of Christmas. More often, they think about the shepherds or the wise men or of Joseph and Mary or the baby Jesus in the manger. But John 3:16 perhaps summarizes the Christmas story better than any other. So today, let's consider the gift that God gave at Christmas. Let me pray. Father, this morning we remember and celebrate the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit may fill our hearts, enable us to newly appreciate and delight in your precious gift, and share it with all the world as believers of Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to ask you this morning, what has been your experience with receiving gifts? So, what has maybe the best gift you've ever received. So anyone? Peter, what do you think? What's the best gift you've ever gotten?
I don't know.
Doesn't.
I know one of my best gifts was the Action Bible.
Great, the Action Bible. Anyone else? What do you think?
Does birthdays count?
Yeah.
I forgot.
You forgot. That's okay. Anyone else? How about Ben? What's the best gift you ever got?
It was a used car when I was 16.
Used car. Yeah, that's pretty good. So my experience with gifts has been, maybe like yours, somewhat varied, right? There have been those times when I received something that was far beyond what I hoped for or expected. One of the most memorable gifts I received as a child was an electric train set. Right? Perhaps because it was a gift I never asked for and I was not expecting. And so, oh wow, a train set. And I spent hours and hours playing with that train set for many, many years. I only finally donated it to another family last year. It gave me so much joy. There have also been many times that I have been disappointed in the gift I received, hoping or expecting for something that did not come or did not meet my expectations. And even though I received a gift, it may not have been what I really wanted or thought that I needed. I remember on one occasion, I was about 12, my church was having a gift exchange. And so you could pick a gift from the table, or you could take a gift from someone who already had one, right? And so I chose to take, when it was my turn, take the gift from my neighbor who already had one. And I took it because that was the biggest box. It was the biggest gift. So I thought, yes, this must be the best of all of them. But guess what? When it came time to open the presents, and I opened the big box, and there was nothing in there. I kept digging. It was mostly empty paper. And then finally, I found a tiny little gift. Do you know what it was? It was a little baby's toy. It was no use to me. I was 12. But that is how it is with gifts. Right? Sometimes beyond our expectations, sometimes disappointment. Our reaction to gifts, our appreciation of them, is tied up in what we think we need or feel like we want. It is also shaped by the understanding of the gift itself, knowing what went into it and what it's actually good for. All this is necessary as we try to process the reception of the gift and endeavor to receive it with joy. So with these thoughts in mind, let's consider the gift that God gave. Our first verse, the first part of our verse, starts out with the words, "For God." For God. God is the gift giver. Just ponder that for a moment. God, who created the heavens and the earth and all that are in them. Consider that there are 1 trillion galaxies in the universe that we can observe. Everything you see in that picture is a galaxy. And if you counted one galaxy every second, it would take you 31,688 years just to count them all. And that's just galaxies. Each galaxy has on average 200 billion stars, like our own Milky Way galaxy. So how many stars is that? 1 trillion times 200 billion. Well, that's 200 billion trillion, or 2 times 10 to the 23rd power. And that's just what we can currently observe in the universe with our limited technology. There's even much more outside of the observable universe, which is far larger than what we can see now. So we are not even a speck of dust compared to the vastness of the universe. And what is the universe but a drop in the bucket compared to the power and the majesty of Almighty God? For God, what did this Almighty God do? Look at the next part of our verse. It says, for God so loved the world. So loved the world. The world is the object of God's love. Who are those in the world? Lots of people. You have your hand raised. Yeah, a lot of people, right? Are those people all good, perfect people? No, no. The answer, really, according to the Bible, is the world is full of sinners. Just look around. Do you see perfect people? When you turn on the news, do you see how everyone just loves one another and gets along? Perfect peace and harmony? No. It's because the world rejected God's love. This world is sinful and in a state of rebellion against God. God should punish the world for such rebellion. Yet God did not punish the world. God so loved the world. But what is love? So there are many definitions of love in the Bible, right? But one universal truth about love is that love is manifested by what is given. When you love someone, what might you give them? Maybe flowers? Candy? Right? Maybe an espresso machine. That's what my wife wants for Christmas. So. Right? We may write them a letter or simply spend time with them, talking and listening. And as love deepens, we give more of ourselves to serve. Love is more than being nice and giving gifts. Love is to give oneself for another. Love does not depend on the worthiness of the other person before it's given. Love is given freely and does not expect anything in return. Love can be accepted or rejected. And therefore, love is sacrificial. Ruth and I, we married a little over 23 years ago. Look how young I looked in that picture. After marriage, my perspective on love has changed quite a bit. Before marriage, I did not have any idea how a cross-cultural marriage would be. But one thing I have learned about love, mostly through my wife, is that love is a giving love. Ruth is such a giving person, as we know, and From our marriage, I've learned that love works best when given, not received. In our sinful nature, we may never know what it is to truly love like God. We often give and love with hidden expectations to get something in return, even if it's just a thank you. But God's love is far superior. He gives completely and sacrificially, expecting nothing in return. In fact, God gives only so that he might give even more. Amazing. God's love is so great that it surpasses our knowledge to comprehend it, as Ephesians 3:9 suggests. And though we may not be able to fully comprehend God's love, there is an abundance evidence of it. One of the evidences of God's love was sending his servants through the history of Israel. In order to demonstrate his love, God singled out one nation, Israel, out of all nations and displayed his love to them. And as we have studied the history of Israel and heard, especially our Advent messages, all from the Old Testament, right? One point is very clear. The times in which the people of Israel loved God was very short compared to the times in which they rebelled against God. Right? Among so many kings of Judah, for example, we can count on one hand those who did well, whereas 90% did evil against the Lord. But even so, God continued to show his love by sending his servants to his people. But the supreme evidence of God's love is that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. God did not just give advice or merely send messengers. God gave himself as a baby in a manger, humble and meek. Philippians chapter 2 tells us he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Why would Almighty God become our servant? A baby in a manger. It is because God so loved the world. This is the beautiful message of Christmas and the incarnational aspect of the gospel. This incarnational aspect cannot be forgotten or underestimated. For example, in our outreach to others, as we seek to love others, we must remember the humble, sacrificial, giving love of God. As we engage in outreach and evangelism, we can't just merely tell people about the love of God or just hand out Bibles. Rather, God's love must be given. We must sacrificially give of ourselves. Through the giving of ourselves, God manifests his love to the world. If we are not giving, we are not loving. I am so thankful for those who are willing to give of themselves today to prepare a special song, beautiful offering to baby Jesus, or their prayer today, or to serve in some way our worship today. It is in their giving that God is glorified and his love is made known to us. There's a very, very old Christmas carol whose chorus goes like this. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. I give my heart. Will you give your heart to God today? Honestly, we don't want to give because our sinful nature is selfish. Right? We would rather receive. Rebellious sinners like us don't deserve such a gift as God's love. But God, in his great love, gave the greatest, most precious gift he could give to a dying world. He gave the gift of salvation, of eternal life, through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Only a perfect sacrifice through the shedding of blood could meet the need of a sinful world and could sinful men be atoned and receive eternal life. Let's think about this gift. To begin to understand how great his love is, we can consider the cost to God and its value to us. If it costs God a lot but has little value to us, then God's act of love was in vain. Or if it costs God little, and though we desperately need it, it would not require much love or sacrifice on God's part. But as it was, God's gift of Jesus Christ was both costly and valuable. It was costly to God because it meant the death of his one and only Son. Now, when parents watch their children suffer, they too suffer greatly. In the same way, all the sufferings of Jesus were sufferings to God the Father as well. How hard it was for Almighty God to allow his one and only Son to suffer on the cross for our sins, experiencing unspeakable loneliness, grief, and pain, and darkness. When God heard his Son cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did not rescue him, as strong as his desire might have been. God was denying his love to his one and only Son to show love to us, sinners. In that sense, God loved us more than his one and only Son, so that sinners like us might be saved. It's easy to believe in the love of God while life is full of blessing, right? But what about when times are tough, like in 2020? We quickly tend to lose sight of God's love. We feel God's love is sometimes too far away to be of any real help. Now, this year was quite a challenging year for many of us. The COVID pandemic, the increased political divide in our nation, and then on top of that, many people lost their homes in wildfires and hurricanes and floods. For many people, the future seems more uncertain than ever. But I want you to imagine something with me for a minute. So put on your imagination hat. Imagine that this Christmas, Amazon delivered an unexpected gift to your door. And when you first opened it, its appearance was maybe nothing special. It was rather dull or disfigured and worn. But despite its appearance, you discovered it was something magical. And you maybe brought it to your friend's house, who had recently lost his job and was feeling quite depressed. But when you shared this gift with him, he was suddenly filled with newfound optimism and hope. And then when you shared this gift with two brothers who were constantly fighting and bickering, but through this gift, they were able to reconcile, forgive, and make peace. And then maybe you carried this gift to a homeless shelter where there was much sadness and sorrow. But suddenly, the place erupted with joy and singing. So imagine if you received such a gift that could turn despair into hope, hatred into peace, and sorrow into joy wherever you carried it. Well, as you might have guessed, we don't have to imagine. Because this is the gift that God has given to all who shall receive it. The gift of his one and only Son. The gift is ours. We only need to take delivery. How do we do that? How do we take delivery of God's gift? The last part of our verse tells us that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Here it is important to understand that the word believes in him, is much more than just intellectual awareness or emotional response. It is even more than accepting and agreeing with this statement. If that were the case, then even the devil would have eternal life, right? The devil certainly believes in Jesus. He believes that Jesus is God's one and only Son. He believes Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. So the word believe here is something to consider more deeply. What does this mean, believe? And we are going to really think about that word more as we continue to study John's gospel. But for today, allow me to give you the Pastor Russell definition of believe, as I understand it to mean in the Bible. True belief is a process of receiving and responding to the gift God has given in trust and obedience. It took me like 3 days to come up with that definition. To believe that whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life, it doesn't mean that salvation is conditional upon our faith. As Ephesians 2:8 tells us, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." So faith is included in God's gift. It's like the wrapping paper. It already comes gift-wrapped, batteries included, and no assembly necessary. Everything we need to be made spotless and free of sin has been provided through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus died on the cross, God sent the Holy Spirit to come into the world to knock on the door of our hearts. He is like the delivery man, right? Knocking on that door. But we don't want to open the door for fear that our sinful deeds will be exposed, Or just like we don't want to open the door for a stranger because, you know, we fear we might get exposed to COVID. And certainly we don't want to welcome him into our home because then they might see how messy our house is, right? But if we are ever to receive the gift at our door, we must open our heart and allow the gift to begin its sin-cleansing work. God's gift is unconditionally extended to all, but it is not unconditionally applied. God offers us the gift of his Son, but unless we open the door, we will never know that gift. We will remain in our sin and perish in hell for all eternity. God's word is very clear about who will perish and who will receive eternal life. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. To perish here does not mean mere physical death, but rather spiritual death. It is known as the second death, or separation from God for eternity, never to know the love of God, blessing from God, the life of God, or the kingdom of God. But God does not want us to perish. He wants to have and give us eternal life. The gift of eternal life is not like other gifts. It doesn't break. It doesn't rust. It never wears out. It never needs replacing. It's eternal and forever. His gift is available to all regardless of their past or their background or their present condition. For those who believe and know the gift of God, there is no need for anxiety. The future is forever one of hope. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. What an amazing gift it is. As I prepared this message, I realized I had forgotten. I had forgotten just how precious is the gift I have been given. All this time I've been carrying this gift, but in some way I had forgotten just what this gift can do. How it can change lives. How it can mend what is broken, bring peace, joy, and love to those around me. This is the gift we have as believers through our relationship in Christ. It is not to be hidden away in our pocket or placed under our bed. It is to be shared with the whole world as God intended. It's the most precious gift we have. This is the gift of Christmas, the gift that God has given us. Praise God. Let us open our heart and receive his gift newly in our hearts as we enter into a new year. To conclude today, I would like to offer two different prayers. One for those who have maybe never invited Jesus into their life, and another for those who have. So first, for those who have not yet received this gift, perhaps maybe some of you children here today, maybe you have been relying on your parents' faith, but your parents cannot open the door for you. They can maybe lead you to it, but you alone have to open the door and let Jesus in. So if you are willing to open the door of your heart today and receive the gift of God, then please pray this prayer in your heart together with me. Let's pray. Father God, far too long I've kept you out of my life. I confess that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By your grace and love, through faith, I gratefully received your gift of salvation. I acknowledge that you are my Creator and my God, and with all my heart I believe in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day, and who now prepares a place for me in your kingdom. Father, thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. Help me to put my past behind and live as a child of God from this day forward and evermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for those of you who have already accepted this gift in your heart, please pray this prayer together with me in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who died that I might live. Help me to remember just how precious and costly is this gift. Help me not to doubt God's love, especially in times of trouble and hardship, but instead use these times as opportunities to show God's love to others. Father, use me as an instrument of hope to those in despair, an instrument of peace to those in conflict, an instrument of joy to those in sorrow, and an instrument of love to all who hate. Though I may experience hardship and even persecution for my faith, let me stand firm in the unshakable love of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God for his precious gift, and Merry Christmas. Let's read our key verse all together one more time, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.